ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामीमिति नाम्ने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्य हरे कृष्ण. सो फर्स्ट ऑफ ऑल आई वुड लाइक टू express my thanks to those who have come, those of you who have come here to participate in Srila Prabhupada Memorial Festival. In a way, the festival is starting from today, but the actual festival will be on the 17th September to mark Srila Prabhupada's arrival in the United States of America. Srila Prabhupada's arrival in America marks a very significant happening in the history of this world. That significance will be revealed in course of time. Although we can see the effect of Srila Prabhupada's going to America and starting his mission of spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world, fulfilling the prediction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But the real impact of that hasn't become visible to us. In course of time, that will become visible. So we have come here to celebrate that occasion, Srila Prabhupada's arrival in the United States of America, Srila Prabhupada's starting the mission of worldwide propagation of Srila Prabhupada's mission of worldwide propagation of Krishna consciousness. What happened? I thought that we have an inverter. Yeah, okay. Srila Prabhupada's starting of his worldwide propagation of Krishna consciousness movement. We are very fortunate that somehow or other we have become connected to Srila Prabhupada, connected to his Sankirtan movement, connected to his ISKCON. And it is important that we recognize the inconceivable good fortune that we have received out of that. Sometimes we become complacent or we forget the good fortune that we have received. Therefore, there is a need of continuous reminder of that. We need to discuss among ourselves what an inconceivable good fortune it is. And for next few days, this is what we would be discussing. For next few days, not only we'll have the Bhagavatam classes and seminars, but we should take every single opportunity to remind ourselves about this good fortune of ours. And we should also remind you that please don't consider that you have come for a vacation. No. You haven't come to a vacation, you have come here to become involved. It is not a vacation, but it is an involvement. Vacation is the time when somebody comes to relax from everything else. But we haven't come here to relax. Rather, we have come here to become, to plunge more deeper into this fire of Sankirtan. Yes, it is a fire. The fire that burns our impurities. The way to purify gold is by burning it. You burn gold, but gold doesn't get burnt. The impurities get burnt. Similarly, in this fire of Krishna consciousness, our spirit soul doesn't get burnt, but all our impurities, all our material impurities, all our material attachments, which are actually impurities, all the way up to our false ego, gets burnt. We have come here to get purified. And this purification actually makes us beautiful. The gold, the more pure it becomes, the more lustrous it becomes. More bright it becomes. Similarly, the more we get burnt in this fire of Krishna consciousness, the more luminous, more brilliant we will become. And that is the beauty of the soul. Our actual beauty is not the beauty of this body. Beauty of this body is only skin deep. It's only up to the skin. And the beauty of the body can also be deceptive. Somebody who may look very beautiful may not be at all beautiful. May not be the most ugly person inside. But coming in contact with Krishna, our real form becomes exposed. Like Putana came as a very, very beautiful woman. She looked so beautiful that she looked like Lakshmi Devi herself. Devotees there in Braj mistook her to be Lakshmi Devi herself. But when her real form was exposed, then you saw how ugly she was. Therefore, we should not try to enhance our physical beauty. Everybody wants to be beautiful. In today's world we see that everyone is spending so much time, so much effort, so much energy, so much money to look beautiful. But that is not the real beauty. And that beauty won't last for very long. The most beautiful, most acclaimed beauty in course of time becomes so ugly. And then ultimately, when the soul leaves the body, what happens? It not only looks ugly, it looks frightening. A dead body, it's so repulsive, so ugly, so frightening. So why should we be attracted, or why should we put so much effort for that temporary attraction? We are not here to cultivate our physical beauty. But yes, we all have come here to become beautiful. And for that beauty, we don't need to spend any money. For this beauty, we don't have to cultivate to enhance that beauty, we don't have to go to any beauty parlor. It's simply we have to submit ourselves to this wonderful process of Krishna consciousness. And yes, then we'll become most beautiful. Then not only our spiritual beauty, even our beauty of the subtle body will become manifest. Actually, this body is a gift of nature. So, on this body we don't have any control. But we have control. We can have control over our subtle body. That body we can make beautiful. The body that is made of mind, intelligence and false ego, that we can work on. And eventually what will happen? Eventually it is beautified by Krishna consciousness. And ultimately, this Krishna consciousness will get rid of the subtle body also. Then we will shine forth with our spiritual effulgence, spiritual beauty. And that beauty is the real beauty, the beauty of the soul. The more attached we are to Krishna, the more beautiful we'll become. Why the gopis are most beautiful? Because their attachment to Krishna is utmost. Why Srimati Radharani is most beautiful? Why Radharani's beauty excels anyone's beauty? Because Srimati Radharani is most attached to Krishna. Therefore, we should try to develop our attachment to Krishna. That should be the goal of our life. We should not be concerned about anything else. Material fame or infamy, material appreciation or disgust, these are all pertaining to the material body. We should not be concerned about that. It is only temporary. Material achievements, material possessions should not be the goal of our life. The goal of our life should be to develop our attachment to Krishna. And it is not at all difficult. It is absolutely natural because Krishna is all attractive. So, since Krishna is all attractive, to develop our attachment to Krishna is natural. We simply have to become exposed to Krishna. We simply have to become aware of who Krishna is. And then when we get to see Krishna, then that attraction will automatically be there. Now we are practicing the Vidhi Bhakti. We are trying to develop our attachment to Krishna. We are practicing to develop this attachment to Krishna. And when we practice, sometimes it's difficult. But then it becomes natural. Like for a baby, when it starts to learn to walk, it has to practice, and that practice is difficult. When we learn to ride a bicycle, that first we have to practice. That practicing stage is difficult. When we learn to ride, when we learn to drive a car, we have to practice, and that practice is difficult. But once we adapt it, once we become, after the practice, when we develop perfection, then it becomes natural. When we are babies, we had to make so much endeavors, and others had to make so much endeavor to make us learn to walk. But now, until you grow old or get arthritis, walking is no problem. It's a natural thing. When you learn to ride a bicycle, then it becomes fun to ride the bicycle. When you learn to drive a car, it becomes a fun to drive the car. Similarly, when we become adept in this process of devotion, when we achieve the perfection of devotion, then it becomes natural. And from that we derive the joy of being involved in devotional service, anandam. It's a very natural process, but we have to practice it. We have to practice to achieve perfection. And what is the practice? The practice is Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam. And then Padasevanam Archanam Bandhanam Sakham Dasyam Atmanivedanam. This nine aspects of devotional service we have to practice. Shravanam, here. And initially that hearing may appear to be difficult, because we don't like to hear about Krishna. Rather, our natural propensity is to hear about all kinds of mundane things. The things that gives us pleasure to our senses, that is what we want to hear about. Another kind of hearing is reading. Hearing is a direct process of hearing, an indirect process of hearing is reading. When we read, we hear. So when we read Srila Prabhupada's books, we get to hear Srila Prabhupada. But we don't have the taste, because it doesn't give the sensation to our pleasure. Pleasure to our senses. That's why we are not attracted to reading or hearing. Rather, we like to hear about all kinds of mundane things. We don't want to hear about Krishna and Krishna's wonderful pastimes. But as soon as there is an opportunity to hear about some mundane topic, then immediately we are all ears. We are so attracted to hear. Amitabh Bachchan did this. Madonna did this. Immediately it's all here. We are interested to hear that. Even Saddam Hussein did this. We are immediately attracted to hear that. We are not interested to read Srila Prabhupada's books. But as soon as we get the newspaper, what happens? Immediately we are absorbed in that. Half an hour, 45 minutes just goes by like that without even recognizing what is happening. So these are our symptoms of our disease. It's a disease we are suffering from, called material attachment, desire for sense gratification. Although the spiritual topics, spiritual descriptions are so interesting, but we don't have taste for it. So it's important that we develop this taste by practicing in a proper way. Regarding this, Srila Prabhupada gives the example of jaundice. When you have jaundice, sugar candy tastes bitter, appears to be repulsive. But this big sugar candy is not bitter, but it's our disease that makes that sugar candy taste bitter. But when you become cured of the disease, yes, then you get the taste of sugar candy. And when you get the taste, we want to have it more and more. Similarly, we are suffering from this disease of sense gratification. So we have to try to get rid of the disease, and that's why we have to practice this process of devotional service. Vaidhi bhakti. Sadhana bhakti, devotional service in practice, following the rules and regulations. So that is why we are here. We have to hear about Krishna. We have to speak about Krishna. We have to glorify Krishna. We have to chant His glory. We have to remember Krishna. These are the three most important practices. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. So we are here to develop these practice, these three, first three aspects of ninefold process of devotional service. And it will work. But we have to make the endeavor. We have to practice. We have to force ourselves to get into it. So please don't waste your time. Just become absorbed. Become fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Hearing, chanting, and try to spend as much time as possible in the temple room. Don't go out sightseeing, even in the pretext of preaching. Don't go out on sightseeing. Just stay here. You admire this temple so much. You say the deities are so beautiful. The temple is so beautiful. So if you're really appreciating the temple, then why are you not in the temple? Most of the times I see the temple is, the devotees are not there. So stay in the temple. Expose yourself to Krishna. Don't try to see Krishna, but allow yourself to be seen by Krishna. We won't be able to see Krishna with our material eyes. But we are here to let Krishna see us. Let Krishna see us. And let us stand in front of Krishna with this understanding. Let Krishna see us. Let Krishna see all the anarthas in me, in my heart. And let Krishna work on me to purify all my impurities. Then when the devotees sing the glories of Krishna, hear them, appreciate them, and try to also sing with them. So try to utilize your time in this way. Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nithai Ki Jai, Jai Shri Shri Krishna Balaram Ki Jai, Jai Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohan Ki, Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Gaur. Hare Krishna. So, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, Chapter 17, text 28. This chapter is entitled as Punishment and Reward of Kali. Iti dharmam mahim chaiva Santaitva Maharathaha Nishatam Adade Khargam Kalaye Adharma Hetave. Iti Dharmam Mahim Chaiva Santva Itva Maharathaha Nishatama Dade Khargam Kalae Dharma Hetave Iti Dharmam Mahim Chaiva Santva Itya Maharathaha Nishatama Dade Khargam Kalai Dharma Hetave Iti Dharmam Mahim Chaiva Santva Itya Maharathaha Nishatama Dade Khargam Kalaye Dharma Hetave. Thank you. Matajis, iti, thus, dharma, the personality of religion, mahim, the earth, cha, also, eva, as, santavitya, after specifying, maharathaha. The general who could fight alone with thousands of enemies. Nishatam, sharp. Adade, took up. Khargam, sword. Kalae, to kill the personality of Kali. Adharma, irreligion. Hetave, the root cause. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Maharaj Parikshit, who could fight 1,000 enemies single-handedly, thus specified the personality of religion and the earth. Then he took up his sharp sword to kill the personality of Kali, who is the cause of all irreligion. Please repeat after me. Maharaj Parikshit, who could fight 1,000 enemies single-handedly, thus specified the personality of religion and earth. Then he took up his sharp sword to kill the personality of Kali, who is the cause of all irreligion. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. As described above, the personality of Kali is he who deliberately commits all kinds of sinful acts which are forbidden in the revealed scriptures. This age of Kali will certainly be full of all activities of Kali. But this does not mean that the leaders of society, the executive heads, the learned and intelligent men, or above all, the devotees of the Lord should sit down tightly and become callous to the reactions of the age of Kali. In the rainy season, certainly there will be profuse rainfalls. But that does not mean that man should not take means to protect themselves from the rains. It is the duty of the executive heads of state and others to take all necessary actions against the activities of Kali, or the persons influenced by the age of Kali. And Maharaj Parikshit is the ideal executive head of the state. For at once he was ready to kill the personality of Kali with his sharp sword. The administrators should not simply pass resolutions for anti-corruptional states, but they must be ready with sharp swords to kill the persons creating corruptions from the angle of vision of the recognized Shastras. The administrators cannot prevent corrupt activities by allowing wine shops. They must at once close all shops of intoxicating drugs and wine and force punishment even by death for those who indulge in the habit of intoxication of all description. That is the way of stopping the activities of Kali as exhibited herein by Maharaj Parikshit, the Maharathaha. Iti dharmam mahim chaiva santvaitya maharathaha nishatam adade khargam kalaye dharma hetave. Maharaj Parikshit, who could fight 1,000 enemies single-handedly, thus specified the personality of religion and the earth. Then he took up his sharp sword to kill the personality of Kali, who is the cause of all irreligiosity. So, punishment and reward of Kali. This chapter, it has been described how Kali was torturing Dharma and Mother Earth. That is the symptom or the characteristic of this age. In this age, people in general, being influenced by this particular personality who rules over this age, Kali, will disregard Dharma and will exploit Mother Earth. Torment Mother Earth. We are seeing how people are exploiting this earth for their sense gratification. Just for the sake of their own sense pleasure, they are torturing Mother Earth. Mother Earth already giving them everything that they need, but they are not satisfied with that. Their need is not the consideration. Their greed has become their prime concern. If we are simply concerned about our need, then we can see that it has already been taken care of. Our needs have already been taken care of. But we are actually being driven, we are being motivated by our greed. We want more and more and more for our sense gratification. Mother Earth has given us everything. We have enough food, we have enough to drink, we have enough to breathe, we have everything that we need. But man is not happy with that. Mother Earth made a perfect arrangement between human beings and trees and plants. We're getting everything from the trees and plants. Our food is coming from the trees and plants. Even water is coming due to the trees and plants. The cloud formation, the cloud condensation of water is due to the effect of the plants, the trees, the forests. And oxygen also is being supplied by the trees and plants. So all our needs have been taken care of by trees and plants. But we are not satisfied with that. We are cutting those trees and plants. In order to create all kinds of facilities for sense gratification. In the name of development, they're getting rid of the forests and creating the places for recreation. Men are digging deep into the earth, pulling out all the garbage from the earth, which is actually oil, and burning them and filling the atmosphere with all kinds of garbage. Mother Earth is so fertile, she is producing abundant food for us. At the most, we had to just plow the land, which was done by bulls. But now we have these heavy tractors. With the tractors, we are digging deep into the earth to get more production. We are creating all kinds of artificial fertilizers. But those artificial fertilizers are burning the surface of the earth. We may get some temporary result in the form of bumper crop by using these machines and by using all these artificial chemicals which are considered to be the fertilizers. But actually, they're burning the earth. Surface of the earth. And eventually what will happen? If the process continues like that, then at some point earth will not yield anything. The whole surface, the entire surface of this planet will become a desert. And what to speak of creating all these deadly weapons, the nuclear weapons, which will burn everything. In no time, in a flash of a moment, millions of people will die. Just due to one explosion, one city will be razed to the ground. This is how, in this age, Mother Earth is being tormented. And Bull, already he lost his three legs of austerity, mercy, and cleanliness. Dharma is standing only on one leg, truthfulness. And that leg also is dwindling. So this is the state of affairs of this age. As a result of breaking those pillars of dharma, meat-eating, intoxication and illicit sex has been abundantly introduced in this society. Everywhere people are eating meat. Everywhere people are taking intoxication. everywhere people are indulging in illicit sex. And Prabhupada is pointing out that the leaders of the society must take care of that. But instead, what the leaders are doing, the leaders are promoting that. Leaders are promoting that. They're promoting meat eating, they're promoting intoxication, they're promoting illicit sex. In order to get their votes, that's what they're promising. That you give us the vote and we will give you, we'll promote these sinful activities more and more. Because that is the standard of your happiness. You think that by developing these things you'll become happy. Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nitai, Jai Shri Shri Krishna Balaram, Jai Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohan, Jai Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada is pointing out that this is what the leaders must do. They must take action, as Parikshit Maharaj did. The heads of the states, the leaders of the states, the kings were men to protect dharma. But Kali very systematically introduced a process of democracy. Kali got rid of the kings. He got rid of the kings and he introduced democracy. Kali is promoting everybody is a king. You may not be a king, but you are even above the king. You are the king maker. You are the king maker. The kings must lick your boots. That's what Kali is promoting. And as a result of that, the whole situation has become very, very critical. Now how to undo that? How to undo that? It's a big responsibility. Of course we have to do something, but we cannot, as devotees, or should not as devotees, take the law in our hands. That will create even more chaos. Therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't take any weapon. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came as a devotee and he promised that he won't touch any weapon. That's why when Mahaprabhu was about to kill Madhai, called Sudarshan Chakra, and was about to chop off his head, Nityananda Prabhu stopped. He said, "My Lord, in this incarnation you promised that you are not going to use any weapon. Your weapon is Sankirtan. Your weapon is Sankirtan." So, with that, with the holy name, with the love of the Lord, you are going to win the, you are going to kill the demoniac propensities in the individuals. You will kill the demons in this age not by your weapon, but by your love. Love of Krishna. So we must take that also very seriously. Why? Because why didn't Mahaprabhu take any weapon? Because in this age, if there is conflict, then there won't be any end to it. Somebody slaps you, you'll retaliate by punching him. Then he will come back with a knife, and he will stand up with a sword. Then he'll come with a gun and he will stand up with a machine gun. Then he'll come with a cannon and you'll stand up with a rocket. And when you stand up with a rocket, he'll come with a missile or with a nuclear warhead, and it'll go on and on and on. So there is no end to it. In other ages, people used to fight with their own strength. In this age, people don't fight with their own strength. People fight with their mechanical strength, with their technological strength, weapons. So who are you going to fight with? And this will continue to increase without an end. So that's why in this age best is that we pray to the Lord by chanting His glory. And then He will make the necessary arrangements. Yes, He will send in due course of time, when the world is ready, when the human society is ready, He will send personalities like Parikshit Maharaj. If Krishna can send a personality like Srila Prabhupada to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, Krishna can also send someone like Parikshit Maharaj to organize this world for the proper human civilization, to establish the proper human civilization. And what a leader like Parikshit Maharaj will do? Leader like Parikshit Maharaj will stand up against Kali. He'll be prepared to kill Kali. But then the question arises, why Parikshit Maharaj didn't kill Kali? Parikshit Maharaj didn't kill Kali because he saw that this age, this Kali has an advantage. The advantage is Kirtana Deva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Param Braja. Just by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one can become free from all material bondage. That's why he didn't kill Kali. Let Kali live. Yes, there are many, many adverse effects or influence of this age. But asti hi eko mahan guna. This age has one great quality. And that is, just by chanting the holy name, one can achieve the ultimate spiritual success. So that is the advantage of the age of Kali. Kirtana Deva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Param Brajat. So that's why Kali, Parikshit Maharaj allowed Kali to live. Therefore we must understand that we are in this age simply to take advantage. Others may get allured by the influence of Kali and become degraded, but we have a great opportunity to uplift ourselves, elevate ourselves spiritually. So let us take full advantage of that. Kirtana Deva Krishna. Let us chant the holy name of the Lord and achieve the ultimate spiritual perfection. And what can stop us from achieving that? Nothing. Had we been in the other ages, there would have been so many different considerations. Had we been here on the other ages, and say in Dwapar Yuga, we could have achieved perfection by worshipping the Lord in the temple. But along with that, immediately the question would come, are you a Brahmana? If you are not a Brahmana, forget it. Same thing also applied in the other ages, Treta Yuga, Dwapar Yuga. All the spiritual practices that have been mentioned in the Vedas were meant exclusively for the Brahmanas. But look at the advantage we got in this age of Kali. Irrespective of our caste and creed, anyone can take advantage of it. What to speak of Brahmana? We don't even have to become, we don't have to belong to the Vedic social structure. We don't even have to belong to Varnashram. We don't even have to belong to India. We can be anybody. Kirata hunandhra pulinda pukkasha abhira samba javana khashalaya. All the low class, degraded, lowest class of people also can take advantage of this age, of this wonderful process of this age. No restrictions, no formalities, no consideration of qualification. Nam nam akari bohudha nija sarva shakti tatrarpita niyamita smaranena kala. No restrictions whatsoever. So let's take full advantage of that. Let's just take full shelter of Krishna in the form of His holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So that is what we have to do in this age. And the rest will happen. Krishna has appeared in the form of His holy name. Nam nam akari bahudha nija sarva shakti tatrarpita. You have invested all your entire potency, sarva shakti, has been invested in the holy name. And niyamita smaranena kala, there is no restriction. Any time, at any place, under any circumstances, anyone can chant this verse. Mahaprabhu said a very beautiful example regarding that. Sometimes devotees ask questions, can I chant the holy name without taking bath? My answer is yes. Can I chant the holy name when I am contaminated? Yes. And how, what kind of, in order to make that point, what did Mahaprabhu do? One day Mahaprabhu came out of the toilet, and devotees saw that he was biting onto his tongue, like this. And devotees asked, what happened? Why are you biting onto your tongue like this? Mahaprabhu said, look, I was in a dirty place. And even in the dirty place, my tongue was chanting the holy name. So in order to stop my tongue from chanting the holy name, I am just holding on to it with my teeth. There was a little boy called Gopal. So Gopal asked, but Mahaprabhu, if our final moment comes in a dirty place, if I am to die, if one is to die in a dirty place, should he chant the holy name? Mahaprabhu said, yes, that's true. Actually, holy name should be chanted anywhere, whether it's dirty or clean. And Mahaprabhu admitted that today I learned something from Gopal. And because Mahaprabhu accepted Gopal as his, he learned a lesson from Gopal, Gopal got a name as Gopal Guru. Gopal Guru Goswami. So this is how Mahaprabhu actually established that principle of chant the holy name wherever you are. Don't stop chanting. Chant. Clean or dirty, doesn't matter. Ch- chant the holy name. Kirtaniyar Sada Hari. Chant the holy name all the time. That is our process of perfection. Once one of Prabhupada's godbrothers was very kind and merciful to me to spend a lot of time, gave me a lot of affection. Whenever he used to come to Mayapur, he used to come and stay with in my room for some time. He was a Babaji, very few Babajis in our sampradaya, in our line, in the present time. And very wonderful devotee. One day he was telling me, you know, these people in Radhakund, they were telling me that our sampradaya is not bona fide because we don't have a siddha pranali. They accuse us of not giving siddha pranali because these Babajis and the imitation devotees, they give siddha pranali. Their understanding of siddha pranali is that the guru at the time of initiation not only gives a spiritual name but reveals the identity of the disciple as a manjari or as a resident of Vrindavan. So that is considered to be the siddha pranali. The pranali means the process and siddha means perfection. The process of perfection. Process to achieve perfection. Then Babaji Maharaj told them, look, who says we don't have siddha pranali? Our siddha pranali has been given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. And our siddha pranali is Trinadopi Sunichena, Tarodopi Shahishnana, Amanina Manadena, Kirtaniya Sada. So chanting the holy name all the time is the ultimate perfection. Mahaprabhu also said, Iha hoite sarva siddhi hoive tomar, sarva khan balo ithe vidhi nahi ar. Just chant the holy name all the time and then you will achieve your ultimate spiritual perfection. So the consideration of ultimate spiritual perfection is synonymous to chanting the holy name all the time. And how can one chant the holy name all the time? By becoming more humble than a blade of grass, by becoming as tolerant as a tree, by desiring no respect for himself, he is prepared to offer respect to all. Then only he will be able to chant the holy name all the time. And then only he will achieve his ultimate spiritual perfection. So that was a wonderful lesson actually. Of course, sometimes I also had some encounters with this Babajis of Radhakund and Vrindavan. When they come and tell, sometimes somebody came and told me that we don't have our parampara is not bona fide because we don't have a proper disciplic succession. Because their understanding of disciplic succession is according to diksha. But the disciplic succession that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur has drawn is not according to diksha. For example, Baladev Vidyabhushan is not a disciple, diksha disciple of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj is not an initiated disciple of Baladev Vidyabhushan. Bhakti Vinod Thakur is not an initiated disciple of Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. Nor is Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj an initiated disciple of Bhakti Vinod Thakur. So they say your parampara is not, you don't have a parampara. So I asked them, do you accept that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mentioned that the holy name of Krishna will spread all over the world? They can't deny that, because it's written in Chaitanya Bhagavata. So how can they deny that? So they said yes. I pointed out that look, the personality who fulfilled that prediction, that impossible prediction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is he in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or not? They had no answer. I said, the real parampara is this parampara. The personality who made this prediction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu become a reality. An impossible prediction became a reality. So if you really want to receive Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, then somehow line up with this parampara. Don't miss out on this golden opportunity. They didn't do that, but they didn't have anything to say also. They didn't have anything to say. They couldn't counteract that argument. Anyway, time will tell. At least others may not understand that. Others may not recognize that, but we have recognized that. Let us take full advantage of our good fortune. Hare Krishna, Gaur Premanande, Hare Hare Gaur. Shri Prabhupada Ki. Does anybody have any question? Yes. Dinesh? Give it to him. Pedro, take that.
Dinesh said that he worries with Rav. He's about to solve this phenomenal word. Rav, R-A-F, in England. So his worries about solving is about create a weapon, something like that. So he asked, this is good or bad?
Yes.
Did it work in RAF? The
Royal Air Force. Yeah. Royal Air Force, okay.
They're creating all these weapons so that they're using for destroying.
So, they good or bad?
Well, as I said, in the age of Kali, it is very difficult to not have anything to do with sinful activities. Therefore, chant Hare Krishna. Therefore, Mahaprabhu gave the holy name. So yes, you can. What can you do? Like, you got a job in Royal Air Force, but they are making these weapons of destruction. But what can you do? Like, if you get another job, you can take it up. You can quit the job with RAF and take a job with Red Cross. Or, you got that? Red Cross, Rote Kreutz, or in some charitable society. Or ISKCON. But until then you chant Hare Krishna. Yes, Radharani. Give her the microphone. Chanting on? Generally, in our society, the standard is that when one gets initiated, then only one chants in Tulsi Mala. Generally. That's mainly because when one starts to chant in the Tulsi Mala, he has to maintain certain standard. That is, follow the four regulative principles. Become situated on the platform of dharma. Because Tulsi Maharani is the witness. When you are chanting, she is seeing us. What are you doing? Give the microphone to her. Yeah, basic Vaishnav standard of cleanliness must be maintained. Okay, let me tell you, that's also one thing I noticed. Sometimes sometimes people, mainly from congregation, they eat and don't wash their hands after eating. So the basic standard is that before eating, wash your hands and preferably feet also. And after eating, wash your hands and mouth. Hands, mouth and feet. These three things should be washed. And yes, when you are chanting in Tulsi Mala, certain standard like this should be maintained. But even without taking bath, one can chant in Tulsi Mala. That's okay. As long as one follows the principle, that is, no meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, and no gambling. Okay. Any other question? Okay, so I'll stop now. And the seminar will start at 10 o'clock. There has been a little mistake in announcing about the seminar. It has been, I think, broadcast that the seminar will be on Bhakti Sandarbha. I'm sorry, Krishna Sandarbha. But actually the seminar will be on Krishna Samhita. That was the intention. I can give a seminar on Krishna Sandarbha also, but Krishna Sandarbha is very philosophical. So what do you want? A philosophical seminar very philosophical seminar, or you want Bhakti Vinod Thakur wrote Krishna Samhita to create an awareness in the mind of educated class of people. Educated means those who have been educated according to English education. Modern day educated person. Actually, modern education is given by the British. They wrote the history of India for us. According to them, these incarnations are imagination and things like that. So Bhakti Vinod Thakur defeated their arguments and he gave a very clear, very succinct understanding of the spiritual activities and purpose of Krishna. So, which one would you like to have the seminar on? Madhavendra Puri says Krishna Samhita. How many of you agree with him? Raise your hand. And how many of you don't really care? Okay, how many of you are for Krishna Sandarbha? Anyway, so Krishna Samhita, we'll give the seminar on Krishna Samhita. I'm sure you'll like it. It's a beautiful book. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.